Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Let me tell you, the struggle to find comfort in my body sometimes, I'm telling you, if you know what I'm talking about, and I know you do, then you have to try Hormone Harmony.
Yes, you do. The struggle is real. And Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon, y'all, for real. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
Wow, Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life, okay? So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause.
No.
Any woman with symptoms with hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like.
Okay, can I just say hot flashes and night sweats? They are wrong. They're just
Yes,
wrong
they
and
are.
evil.
Yes, they are. And racing thoughts and low moods. Let me tell you
Ugh.
something. My mind is like a chattering monkey all night long.
Feeling tired all the time, poor sleep.
Yes, and no desire to be in bed next to someone if you know what I mean,
Okay, I
okay?
know you do.
Okay. So, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FRANGELA at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code FRANGELA for 15% off today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues?
Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before.
And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food.
So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs, and we all want that, right?
It's called Superfood Complete.
Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods that are vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason D. Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes.
Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits.
That's right. My dogs love it. My little picky, picky dog, my boss dog, Twombly, is finally eating. And I've tried everything. I mean, I've tried prosciutto, people.
So go to badlandsranch.com/frangela and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to Badlands. That's Badlands ranch.com/frangela today.
MSW Media.
Welcome to Teacher Quit Talk. I'm Miss Redacted.
And I'm Mrs. Frazzled. Every week we explore the teacher exodus to find out what, if anything, could get these educators back in the classroom.
We've all had our moments where we thought, what the hell am I doing here? From burnout to bureaucracy to soul-sucking stressors and creative dead ends.
From recognizing when it was time to go to navigating feelings of guilt and regret afterwards, we're here to cut out the gaslighting and get real about what it means to leave teaching.
We've got insights from former teachers from all over the country who have seen it all. So get ready to be disturbed. Join us on Teacher Quit Talk to laugh through the pain of the U.S. education system. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela and welcome to...
I am really proud. I am really honored.
He's a jackass.
Stop it. Get off it, Donald.
Hey, what happened?
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
You blow it!
You idiot!
Idiot of the week!
Week.
Since where you send us the stupid at idiotoftheweek@gmail.com and at frangela08@gmail.com, and then we mock them here.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. Thank you so much for listening to us on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and on MSW Media.
Thank you, thank you. And we want to also thank you for those of you who are Patreon friends. Thank you so much. We appreciate it if you can. We'd appreciate you joining. If you can't, we understand. And please do us this solid and get other people to listen to these podcasts, to sign up, rate, and review, because that'll be how we get ads. And then yeah. And then we can eat and be housed. So thank you.
It's so true.
And if you become a Patreon friend, what do you get?
You get three micro idiots a week.
Not one, not two, but three. That's right, three. As our way of saying thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. And you can also get a cameo video from Frangela. Go to cameo.com, put in Frangela, and we can wish you a happy birthday, happy anniversary. Congratulations on that new promotion.
Oh, a whole host of messages for you and as a gift for someone else.
Yes. We want to remind you that we will be taking off the week of Memorial Day. But we will be returning after that, just so you know that we will be
not. We will not be podcast that week. It's called a real and actual break. So thank you very much for that.
Yes.
Let's get started, shall we? Because the stupid waits for no one.
They don't. This first one is from David G. Thank you very much. Okay. Police red face as Porsche stolen twice.
Okay, apparently, this is a Porsche 911 Carrera S, which I guess is a very expensive car.
Apparently.
It's a $280,000 car, right?
Yep.
So apparently what happened is this is in Malaysia.
Yeah. It was the 76th Geneva Motor Show in Geneva, Switzerland, right?
Right.
And then, but somehow the Malaysian police were left red-faced after a man. What happened was he comes in dressed to the nines in a suit, looking good, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for this motor show.
The motor show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at the Porsche, looks at them, and goes, "Hey, hand me the keys." And they do. He gets inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do, Angela?
He drives it, turns it on, and he drives it. Now you're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, you just told me he's inside of a venue.
Yeah.
Well, yes, he is. So he drove it through a glass window out of the venue. Stole it by driving it through the window.
I have never seen that. Let me tell you something, they had written that in a movie plot, I would have been like, oh, this is stupid. People don't do that.
And then what's fascinating to me about this is that the reason it got caught was that the car was found later abandoned a short distance away because its fuel tank was empty.
Right.
So I'm surprised. I mean, I guess they must. That's how they move the cars in there, probably. But yeah. I was surprised there was any fuel in the car at the first. But it probably wasn't very much.
Right.
So the person, whoever this thief was, they abandoned the car. So they find the car. So then they do what happens with cars. I guess the police, they took it back to the police station.
Right. Because it's a crime scene now, right?
It's a crime scene. So, being somebody who finishes what he started, and they don't make it clear how they knew. I mean, maybe it's post facto that they know that he's the guy who stole it,
right. But
he got into the police lot, the police station where the car had been towed, and because he had the keys, he stole it again.
Yeah,
and drove off the police lot in it.
Yep. But ditched it later after he discovered roadblocks had been set up to stop him. Police are still hunting for the suspect.
Okay, I have a number of things. One, as the dean of the Shelton Nugent School,
right?
I can tell you that we would be we'd be trying to get this case dismissed on calling it a theft in the first place. Mm-hmm. When you give someone the keys.
That's right.
Why did he need the keys for a car that was on display?
That's right. That's right.
And why were they, my understanding, I'm from Detroit. We have an auto show every year that is a very big deal in that city, right? What? Like people come from all over, whatever. And when I don't, you can open the, all you can ever do, if you can even touch the cars, is open them and sit in them and look around them, maybe. And that's not always true. And this certainly sounds like the kind of car where that may not have been true for it. Right. But you cannot, why is it even able to be turned on? Why would you give this person the keys?
You know what? I say that's on you.
That's feeling too. And don't give me the, oh, it was inside a building, so we didn't think he could took it. Where, you know what? How did it get in the building? It got in the building some kind of way, which means it can get out some kind of way.
Yep.
See, I'd be trying to get this thrown out on GP on that to begin with.
It is okay. So fucking boldface.
No, boldface, though, no, where he gets it, where this thief gets a little bit of stupid respect, is that he went to the police lot like, no, motherfuckers, I told you I stole this car.
This is my car.
I told you. This was my Porsche.
I mean,
Did you think? there's a hubris here where I can see this one for me. Like, did you think? Oh. Did you think you could take my stolen car from me?
Totally. Did you think I was done with the car?
No. Did you think I didn't tell you I was done?
Oh, because you know what? One fact we forgot to mention is he returned to the police lot with a canister of gasoline, put it in the car, and drove it off the lot.
Thank you, Francis. This is where we go. He solved the initial problem.
That's
now,
right.
The police are dumb, and I think the auto show people are dumb. Yep. I don't know why you give anyone a key. You don't need the key. My assumption about those things is always even that the people who are at the displays probably don't even have the keys.
Can I tell you something, Angela?
Uh-huh.
This is why I'm so okay with the man still in the car. Because if you had walked up to them and said, can I have the keys to this $300,000 car? They'd poke your eyes out with those keys. What are you doing looking at our car?
I have to show multiple forms of ID to get a pizza delivered to me.
That's
in my home. There's goddamn way. In fact, we had to get some medication for one of the dogs, and we had to get it early because of being out of town. And like, basically, I was like, let me wait in the car because you white, and maybe if I come in with you, they might think we're drug seeking.
Totally.
Because it's one of those medications that people take too. He was like, are you kidding? I'm like, no, because this is how I get treated. Like, it's just sort of a normal part. Yeah. I got to say, I am tempted, really tempted to say that this man, not only does he not belong in the idiot column, he may be something we have to start teaching.
That's right. That's right.
Because he learned from the first mistake.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you something. This is a motherfucker who ain't afraid to be caught, because he drove out of a glass window and a police lot. He is not afraid to be caught. He's willing to do that time. That's what I'm hearing here.
That's right. And you know what? You know what? And he is a professional.
He's the window thing. Like, it is a little like, you know,
I think it's baller and boss.
Well, they got that car in there without going through the glass window. Like, you could, you know what I mean? Like, there was probably, and I know that was a higher level ask, but what I read here is, now I'm taking this car and it's about taking the car, and I don't care, and I'll do this time. And I don't know if this man is got so many years to live or so many months or weeks to live, and this was on his bucket list, was to drive that car. So he's like, fuck it, or what? Yeah. But what I do know is this is not a person you can threaten.
Your laws mean nothing.
Nothing.
To this man. Next up. This next is from several people. Carol M.
Ellie F.
Donnie J.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unruly passenger opens United Planes emergency exit, slides down wing.
Okay, now this is a decidedly Spirit form of behavior.
Yes, Lord.
And in fact, quite frankly, on Spirit, I think it's okay to do this. I don't know that this would even be considered a rule violation at Spirit. However, a passenger aboard a United Airlines flight was arrested for opening an emergency door and sliding down the wing of the plane as it was moving after it landed in Chicago.
Wow.
O'Hare.
Flight 2478 from San Diego. Okay, first of all, You could get me if this was a flight from like the West Coast to the East Coast or East Coast to the West. That's a long flight. But to Chicago from San Diego, come on.
Okay, Francis, were you really, we've been doing idiot too long. If you're going to get dispensation for another 1,000 miles on this or less than that on this, because here's my thing, Francis, here's my thing. It's never, first of all, it's moving. This is no different from jumping out of a moving car, except you endangered many people's lives, not just your own or whoever else was on the road, right?
What I need to everybody to understand is the anxiety that must have been crawling up this man's throat.
I have one word for you, Xanax. I have another word for you, booze. If you're in the place where you can't handle a flight that hardcore, then you just
need to fly. Yeah.
And basically, the ground crew stopped the person on the outside of the plane, and they got this person to law enforcement. But the thing is, it was a red eye, so everybody was kind of asleep and out of it, not really paying attention. And it sounds like what I've had happened is that he went to the emergency door, and people saw it, but kind of like weren't processing it.
Yeah,
it was, and then he opened the door, flew the door open, and just went down the wing. And the stewardess even came down there and was like, wait, what's happening? Like, nobody.
And that's, to me, the most upsetting part of that to me is nobody stopped him.
Nope.
Nobody, that he was able to pop that door that quickly, unaided. Because normally what I have been told, mm-hmm, is that that door is very, very difficult to pop.
Well, you would hope. You would hope that it would, I mean, not like so difficult that you can't do it, but that you can't do it that necessarily like that.
Easily.
Yeah. Now, and it's just, I was just like, but here's my other problem with that. Even if you were having this sort of anxious moment, you were so close, dude. You were taxiing. Oh, oh. And I know the taxi in LA, if you land at LAX here, I love when people land, they're like, oh, I'll be out there in 5 months. Like, you'll be out here in 35.
That's right.
The taxiing is a drive in and of itself. Yep. And that can happen. I understand. But you were there, dude. Yeah. You were there. You had landed. It was just as if there was ever a time to slow your roll and hold on.
I know.
It's just, he crawled over people. It's like he wasn't in the emergency row.
He was in an emergency. That's what he was in.
I need to know what that emergency was, because I think you're right. Something was going on, and I want to know what.
Yes, and that's my problem with this reportage, mm-hmm, is that we don't understand. Like, what I need to know one thing. Was he trying to make a flight?
Yeah, what was going on?
I pray that he had a bout of anxiety that was so difficult that he thought that it's either me and I die on this plane right now.
Right.
Or I get out of this can.
That feels like the kind of thing that you would start screaming that or something. And I know that's not fair for me to say probably, but I feel like when people are having those kind of fits, they let you know. They're like, yeah, there's some kind of wind up, you know,
but this was
just straight out of nowhere. And I will say in his defense, I don't remember anywhere on that announcement saying, don't open the emergency door after we landed.
Nope. Not never.
Maybe he thought he was being helpful.
Yeah. But he sure did take his ass on out there, and they sure did put him in cuffs.
Well, I'm gonna see if he has a lawyer. I'm gonna see if he has a lawyer, then we're gonna get a GoFundMe.
Totally.
Okay, with that, we're going to be right back.
Season 2 of Swing Left's How We Win is here. We have an incredible opportunity to fight for our democracy.
We don't agonize, we organize.
And we've got a lot of work to do.
Subscribe right now on Apple and everywhere you get your pods for insight, action, and your reasons for hope. I'm Steve Pearson.
And I'm Mariah Craven.
And this is Season 2 of How We Win.
Welcome back. This next idiot is from Jeff Y. Well, we have a couple of idiots.
They kind of go together.
But this first one is from Jeff Y. Canada MP regrets calling into debate from toilet.
Okay.
Now, I don't think that he's an idiot for this.
You don't?
Let me tell you why. Okay, let's first, I'm going to tell you the story.
I'm going to tell you what happened,
and I'm going to tell you why I don't think he's an idiot. A Canadian lawmaker has apologized for appearing remotely for a parliamentary session from a toilet cubicle. Liberal MP Ali was panned by a Conservative Party lawmaker after colleagues noticed the familiar background of the building's washroom.
Okay.
A rival MP said the camera was mounted on the ledge or ridge on the wall just above the back of the toilet. This is the second Liberal MP in 2 years to be caught in an embarrassing situation on a Zoom call. Mr. Ali, a 55-year-old former real estate dealer, was elected last year to serve, and the incident took place during a debate on a member's bill in the House of Commons, where several members appeared by a private video call that was only visible to their fellow MPs. Okay?
Yep.
So a conservative female was saying, who was attending the event in person, rose a point of the order to suggest that her colleague might be participating from a washroom.
The washrooms of the building. So everybody recognized it. A parliamentary page. So it's one that like assistance, the page confirmed. Oh yeah, yeah, he's in the washroom. That's where he at. This triggered a rebuke from the chamber's assistant deputy speaker, who asked that all lawmakers be, quote, prudent on how we use our devices and to be aware of the surroundings when you are online. Okay, here's the deal. I find it interesting that the way this article is written, they identify the liberal and conservative.
Yeah, I do too.
Because what this feels like with the introduction of those words is that had this been a conservative MP, this person might not have said anything. That's the implication. And the idea that, oh, this is the second liberal MP. Like, so liberal MPs don't do well on Zoom. Like, they're a problem.
Right.
And I will say this. The really key piece of information that's missing here is, was he going to the bathroom?
Thank you. And also, let me tell you, my other issue is, okay, why can't we say that this is a great worker? This guy doesn't want to miss any part of this. He's got to go to the bathroom and he's listening.
Maybe where his office is doesn't get good reception. Maybe this is the room that he thinks you can hear him the best in. Maybe a lot of things. Now, is it a poor choice? Absolutely. But also, we have Zoom fatigue, everyone. We've been doing this for years. People are getting sick of it. They're getting a little Jeffrey Tubined. You know what I mean? They forget that things are, you know, we've all gotten a little lax here and there on this. This was a very, very unfortunate place to do it from. But I think it doesn't sound like he was in any way, they would have mentioned if he was naked or if he exposed himself in any way, or if they'd had to hear any, everybody poops. Let's just say. Everybody poops.
That was my favorite book in the 90s.
That's what I'm saying. So can we get out of the bathroom shaming?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. It isn't a great choice.
No.
But maybe there were reasons. Maybe there was somebody, you know, his office was closed off for some reason. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? But I need that information.
I do too. I do
before
too.
Before I can call him a straight up idiot, and it's not just a political attack.
Totally, totally. Next up.
This is from Secretary Damselfly and Evan S. This goes with this last one, but this is in England, in merry old England. Neil Parish, a Conservative Party member of Parliament, said he is resigning after admitting that he watched pornography twice in the House of Commons in a, quote, moment of madness.
Madness?
A moment madness of madness. He had a moment of madness. He was mad for a moment.
No, because I find it that it's usually horniness.
He said the first time he did it, it was an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what he told the BBC. It happened after, now follow me on this one. It happened after he was looking at tractors. So somehow he was in the House of Commons, in the Parliament, in the room where everybody is.
Right.
Right. Not in his own office. And he was looking at tractors and then somehow porn came up. I have Googled tractors and this does not happen for me.
No, it does not.
So So that was an accident.
Look, let me tell you something. No. I'm going to stop there because
he said that was an accident.
Ain't no kink. Ain't no. Let me tell you something. I know something about pornography. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ain't no tractor kink. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, he was an accident though. You know, you're looking up garden farm implements and suddenly porn. So he says that was first because it was an accident.
Oh, okay.
Now the second time, however, and this is where. This is where we know we're in England and not the United States. Because if this were the United States, this person would be sticking to the it's an accident or fuck you line of defense. But this guy cops to it. He goes, okay, the second time it was intentional. And this quote is awesome. He says, funnily enough, the first time it was tractors I was looking at. I did get into another website that had a very similar name and I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done. But my crime, biggest crime, is that on another occasion I went in a second time.
Cause they got good to ya.
So it was two colleagues who happened to be females said that they saw him looking at porn from his phone while they were sitting near him. He got suspended. Now, we don't suspend people for storming the Capitol and threatening to kill the vice president. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Or organizing these events or having anything to do with them. So the fact that, you're not getting the resignation out of somebody in the fucking U.S. House of Representatives or Senate over this shit. But he resigned in a statement. He said, following recent allegations regarding MPs' use of their mobile phone in Parliament, I have referred myself to the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards in the House of Commons, he wrote. Now, it's weird how he disassociates himself from it in that sentence, because he's the person who did it.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at that and I go, yeah, dude, you know, if you can't stop looking at the porn while at work.
Especially, here's the thing. You shouldn't be doing it at all, but most people do it in the bathroom or in their cubicle or in their office. You can't be sitting in the middle of the meeting. And this House of Commons meeting, they get taped, they get recorded. Yeah. And a lot of times I think they might even be streamed live always. I'm guessing they have their own kind of C-SPAN situation. But the thing is, what's hilarious to me here is it was said that people didn't think the Conservative Party handled it correctly. And they said that they knew for days about this disgusting behavior of one of their MPs and tried to cover it up. This is a government rotting from the head down. I would hate to see what they think of this government.
Totally.
If that's rotting from the head down, now here's the deal, boo. You know what? If we even give him, are we going to give him a pass on the first time? Are we going to go, okay, you accidentally ran into some porn and looked at it a few moments longer than you should have.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I'll give that. That can be his gimme. That can be his mulligan.
Because he admits to it that the second time was he did go looking for it.
Yes. Yeah. And what we know is that that's the second time he got caught.
Yeah.
Other times he didn't get caught or reported.
That's what I think also. But I also say to myself, if I were trying to argue for him, I'd go, well, have we thought about making the proceedings a little more interesting? Perhaps we all need to challenge ourselves to make these debates, you know, really have sticking power. Like, make people want to say, dude, you can't look at porn when you have your job.
Okay, let's review. We got the, let's see, we started with the police red faces, the Porsche stolen twice.
Then we have the passenger who opened up the exit door when they had landed and ran out.
Yeah, then we got the candidate MP who regrets calling into the debate from to the toilet.
And we have the British lawmaker who looked at porn twice while in the House of Commons.
I'm going to go with the British lawmaker.
Yeah.
Because the second time is on you.
Yeah. This is the problem, Francis. There was a time in this country.
Angela, there was a time.
There was a time in this country that people understood at least the need for aloneness. Unless it was a group activity that everybody had consented to and not at work. You aren't supposed to be looking at the porn. You can't be looking at the porn in the middle of debate.
No,
That's not how we rule government. That's not right.
Actually, there was a time in this country. There was a time in this country that people understood that how you board the plane is how you deplane the plane. That's right. Okay? That's right. You don't make new openings and procedures mid-ride.
Okay. No, there is no individual exiting. Oh, that's Angela's exit. That's your exit. That's not how it works. There was a time we understood that.
Yes, I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. Thank you so much for listening to
Idiot of the Week.
Week.